on redistricting rules and public affairs.
The Committee on Public Affairs will come to order. And good evening, committee, and good evening to our friends from Portland who've joined us tonight. We know you're out there somewhere. We're in the process of a rather rigorous hearing schedule and going on the road, taking a redistricting hearing from around the state. And on the back of your handout tonight, you will see where we are in our schedule currently. We're about ready to go into the last couple of weeks of our field hearings here. We welcome your participation this evening. We would like you to know that we do have a sign-up sheet up front. If you would like to testify, we ask that you, and we'd like to have you do that. And hope you'll come up and sign up, and we will get to you just as quickly as we can this evening. A couple of things about redistricting in general, and that is that as a result of the population in the state of Oregon growing here over the last 10 years, the individual districts are now larger in size. They will be containing, your house districts will be containing 57,023 people, and that's up approximately 10,000 per district from the last census and the last redistricting, and your Senate districts now will be required to contain 114,047 persons. Down in front of the stage, you will notice some statute listed there, and the statutes tell us the things that we have to bear in mind as we begin to redraw the legislative districts. They are ORS 188.010. If you're unable to see that in front of us, you'll also notice that on the facing page of the second sheet of your handout this evening. One thing that is reasonably certain, and that is practically every legislative district in the state of Oregon will change as a result of the new requirements. So change is reasonably inevitable in every direction that you look. We'd like you to know this evening that we do have our Spanish interpreter here this evening, if anyone would so need to testify in that way. And if she would address the crowd, and we'll reach out to those of you who may require her services. Thank you. If any of you would need her services, just notify her, and she will let us know of your presence and your need for her services, and we will get you in front of us just as quickly as we possibly can. There are probably some other points that we'll bring up as we move along this evening, but our idea here is not to talk. Really, what we're here to do is to listen to what you have to say, because this all goes into building a public record. Public record is an important part of putting this entire process together. And so everything that you say is recorded. If you hand in written testimony, that becomes part of the record as well tonight. So your participation means something in the entire process. I'd like to take a moment to allow our committee to introduce themselves, and I would begin to my right this evening. And Senator Gordley, I think you're the farthest out there, right?
farthest out there. good evening, Adele Gordley, representing Senate District 10.
I'm Peter Courtney, representing Senate District 17 at the Salem-Kaiser area.
Yeah. I'm Representative Steve March, representing House District 15 in the center of northeast and southeast Portland.
I'm Carl Wilson. I'm a state representative from District 49, and that's Grants Pass and Cave Junction.
I'm Richard Devlin, House District 24, which is Lake Oswego and about two-thirds of the city of Tualatin.
And I'm Dan Gardner, State Representative from House District 13, Southeast Portland.
Hi, I'm Jackie Dingfelder. I'm with the House District 19, State Representative for Portland.
And I'm Diane Rosenbaum, State Representative from House District 14, which is Inner Southeast and a little of Northeast Portland.
Thank you. I'm Gary Hansen on the far left from Representative Wilson, State Representative from House District 17, which is pretty much from the freeway west, the North Portland Peninsula, and a little bit, a couple precincts on the other side of the St. John's Bridge.
Thank you. And Representative Kafori.
Thank you. Representative Deborah Kafori, welcome to District 18. Thank you.
Just a word to committee members, you really don't have to work your microphones too close. These will operate just fine standing out in front of you there. All right, what I'm going to do is work through our
sign-up sheets this evening, and I am going to do my very best to pronounce your names correctly, and forgive us if we do not. But I will begin, and here is our testimony microphone here this evening. I'll begin with Walt Ellis, please.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Chairman Wilson, members of the committee, I'm Walt Ellis. I'm the Associate Dean of the College of Urban Public Affairs at Portland State University. Tonight I'm representing the college and the Portland State University Administration. I need just a few moments of your time. And it's nice to see a colleague from the university and a former student of mine from the university. I'm here to make 3 points about redistricting efforts in Oregon. First, the College of Urban and Public Affairs has 2 campus public service and research institutes that might be helpful to you as you evaluate the policies inherent in the redistricting effort. I know your staff has already been in contact with the Population Research Center, the POP Center as we affectionately refer to it. The faculty members associated with this center are regionally and nationally recognized demographers. As you know, the Population Research Center is the official source for all state of Oregon population information. PRC is responsible for producing the annual population estimates for the state, its counties, and cities. PRC also operates the Oregon State Data Center, the lead agency in the state for relationships with the U.S. Census Bureau and for providing census data to the city's citizens of Oregon. One of the major challenges regarding the redistricting plan is how best to address the issues and needs of the Portland metropolitan region. The state legislative and congressional districts that serve this region must reflect the diversity of its neighborhoods and communities and its economy. Within the College of Urban and Public Affairs at PSU, we have a research and public service institute that is governed by leaders within the region. The faculty of the institute focus their work on issues that affect the greater metropolitan area. The Institute for Portland Metropolitan Studies furthers the urban mission of the university in part by providing a neutral forum for the discussion of critical metropolitan policy issues. The faculty members of this institute are available as resources to you and to your colleagues. The third point that I want to make focuses on Portland State University specifically and the role the university plays in meeting the higher education needs of the region. As Oregon's urban university, PSU has been intricately involved in issues that affect the region and issues that meet the needs of the business community. Part of the success enjoyed by this region has been the result of effective regional planning and coordination related to higher education, transportation, economic development, and international trade. The geographic hub of these activities has been Multnomah County, where the lead agencies are located, working in concert with public agencies and the communities located throughout the region. Together, these important networks create a dynamic focus in Portland's central core that reverberates throughout the metropolitan area. It is this area of focus, Multnomah County, that requires more than one congressional representative so that the entire region and the state may benefit. And if I might digress for a moment with a single foray into the partisan politics of this issue, it is that which will strengthen the congressional clout of the Portland metropolitan region. It should be uppermost in the committee's considerations for redistricting. Portland State University has enjoyed the strong support of Oregon's entire congressional delegation. It is through these working relationships that we have come to realize the powerful impact it is possible when the delegation works together on priorities affecting Oregon. For at least 2 decades, the students, faculty, research activities, and the university's ability to serve the Portland metropolitan region have benefited from having two members of the U.S. House of Representatives serving the city of Portland. We also know the realities of the congressional budgeting process, and we believe it is in the long-term interest of PSU, the region, and the state to have more than one member of Congress representing Multnomah County. I thank you for your time. I certainly appreciate the challenges that you face, and I want you to know that PSU is prepared to assist in any way that may be helpful. Thank you, and good luck.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. Appreciate your testimony. Next will be Meredith Wood Smith, please. Just a reminder, everyone who testifies will need to identify themselves for the record as we begin.
Good evening. My name is Meredith Wood Smith, and I am the Democratic leader of House District 19. I am here tonight not representing the district as the Democratic leader, but from my observations living, traveling, and organizing the district. I realize much of what I have to say is coming from the standpoint of a Democrat, not a Republican, and redistricting is always about party and the desire to control as many seats as possible. The 2000 census provided us with valuable information, but in my opinion, the most important piece was the celebration of diversity in our communities. I have great hopes in the future that our districts will reflect the ethnic and cultural diversity demonstrated by the census information. District 19 celebrates that diversity. Not only do we have broad cultural diversity, but we have economic diversity and family status and the wide range of small to large businesses within our boundaries. As past president of the Broadway Business Association, I am aware of the synergistic relationship between a healthy business economy and the vital and prosperous neighborhoods. It is also essential for the adjoining business community to provide goods and services for the residential neighborhoods to reduce travel to such services and to provide a framework for social and organizational gatherings. You might consider in your redistricting plans to use the high schools, especially in urban areas, as communities of interest. Cultural, racial, ethnic, and economic diversity provide healthy environments for all of us, young and old, to live. The richness of my life living in Northeast Portland is celebrated by the community of interest of diversity. I know we still have a lot of work to do in providing equal access and opportunity for all our citizens. But the more we live, work, organize together, the greater understanding we have of each other's issues, the better we can work together to solve our problems and create healthy communities for all of us. I choose to live in Northeast Portland. I want to live in a community that expands my knowledge and understanding, and to raise our children with an understanding of the power and potential of all of us. Sameness only reinforces our limited perspective. Diversity teaches us about a larger world beyond ourselves and the common concerns we have for raising our children, living, and growing old. I do not want to be surrounded by people just like me. Some are fine, but I want my knowledge and understanding expanded by the community in which I live. Of course, I can have that by choosing where I live. But being a political animal, I also understand that the perimeters of my surrounding political structures will determine my awareness of the issues around me. Many factors contribute to our losing a sense of community, and I would hope that the political structures provided us the opportunity to celebrate our common themes, not our differences. As you embark on this difficult task, I hope you will find ways to bring us together and not bring further separations. Thank you.
Thank you for coming out this evening. Next to testify will be Barbara DiCiasio.
Good evening. My name is Barbara DiCiasio, and I'm here this evening as a precinct representative and a longtime resident of House District 16. First of all, I want to thank you all for bringing this meeting to Portland tonight and for setting it for after hours work. I know it makes a very long day for you, but your attempts at citizen participation and being inclusive of everyone is really appreciated, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'd like to speak to you this evening. On behalf of preserving Senate District 9 and House Districts 16 and 21 in Far East Portland. As a recently incorporated area into the city of Portland, New Portland has many concerns that are unique to the area. Some of these concerns include separate education systems comprised of multiple school districts, not just Portland Public Schools, an independent public utility board serving our water district, and the community's overwhelming dissatisfaction with Portland stormwater charges and services undelivered to the area, a transportation infrastructure which includes many miles of unpaved and substandard roads, some of which are always under consideration as to whether they're the city of Portland or Multnomah County's responsibility, a changing mass transit system where the changes in services due partially to the MAX and partially to cuts from TriMet have left much of our area underserved. These are just some of the concerns that the area has. I've been a resident for 27 years, and I've seen a lot of changes in the area. I would imagine that there will be a lot more in the next 27 years. And at some point, the concerns that the new Portland has may become more closely aligned with the concerns of old Portland. But right at the moment, it would be a drastic disservice to the citizens to make changes that would combine an area with dissimilar neighborhoods, either into old Portland or out of Portland proper. The unique situations, the history, and the inherent fear of the citizens to change make it mandatory that the people are represented by folks that are familiar with the area and are trusted by the public. Please preserve Senate District 9 and House District 16 and 21 in Far East Portland. Thank you.
Thank you. Next this evening will be Thomas Johnson.
I actually have no public comment. I signed the sheet not realizing the intent.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Next on the list, then, will be Arthur Towers. Arthur? Is Arthur here?
He's out there a minute ago.
Okay, well, we'll get back to him. Next will be Annette Mattson, please. Again, just say your name for the record, please. We appreciate that.
My name is Annette Mattson. I reside at 12045 Southeast Foster Place in Portland. I live there with my daughters and husband. I'm an 18-year employee of Portland General Electric and a graduate of Warner Pacific College in Southeast Portland. Also, I've been a member of the David Desert School Board since 1995, where I'm currently the chair. I'm speaking to you today as a 23-year resident of Outer East Portland. That is the area that is roughly bordered by the I-205 freeway to the west, the Gresham city limits to the east, the Columbia River to the north, and the Clackamas County line to the south at the top of Mount Sky. The Outer East Portland area is a unique community of interest. First of all, because of our school districts, David Douglas, Park Rose, and Centennial all have boundaries partially or completely within the city of Portland, but we are not part of the Portland Public School District, nor do we wish to be. My district, David Douglas, is 8,000 students, a balanced budget, and some of the highest graduation standards in the state, having fully implemented the David Douglas Certificate of Initial Mastery and 7 Certificates of Advanced Mastery programs. Our school district partners in programs and in values with the Centennial School District and in programs with Reynolds, Park Rose, and even Gresham Barlow School Districts. Most of the East Portland School Districts are rapidly growing in enrollment, while Portland Public School enrollment is declining. Other unique characteristics include the following. Our area was not legally part of the city of Portland until the latter 1980s, and until the mid-1990s, we were seldom acknowledged by the city. Outer East Portland is growing rapidly in enrollment, in population, and in density, while Inner Portland is declining in population. We have a dramatic shortage per capita in parks and in recreational facilities. We are a community of great socioeconomic, racial, and ethnic diversity. In David Douglas, one of every four students is an English language learner. And although I don't know the current census figures, the 1990 census showed the greatest percentage of people of Asian descent in the state lived in Outer East Portland between 82nd and 142nd Avenue. Currently, Russian students are the largest immigrant group in our schools. Outer East Portland is a community with an inadequate infrastructure, with sewer installation beginning just 15 years ago, 30 to 40 years after the area was developed. We have few sidewalks, and it's common to drive around neighborhoods and come to roads that are dirt with potholes, not paved, and not even gravel. We in East Portland believe that we are designated for the majority of new subsidized housing in Portland, and we are concerned that the addition of another urban renewal area, while important to the revitalization of the community, pushes more and more of the local tax burden on our residential property owners. We had inadequate north-south public transportation, despite a repeated request to TriMet for service improvement. East-west transportation, which divides us, is more than adequate. Within the range of wealth and poverty in our community, we are mostly working-class people with small-town values, a healthy skepticism of government, and a strong sense of pride and individuality. The last 10 years, we've been represented by two House members and one senator who live in Outer East Portland. They've understood the issues of our area and concerns and the values of our residents. There are some of you and many of your colleagues who came to Salem this January determined that the issues of their smaller communities not be lost in the shadow of the 800-pound gorilla that is the central and west city of Portland. We don't want our Outer East Portland issues lost in that shadow either. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you for your testimony. Next up will be Ron Clemenson, please.
Good evening. I'm Vice Chairman of the Centennial Community Association, and I'm merely going to acknowledge what's already been said here in front of you by several folks from Outer Southeast, and that is our great concern that we might lose our representation. I noticed here on the published in the Oregonian on 16 and 21 districts that we're very close to the figures that you announced. I believe you said 57,000. And we're in the census of 2000, we were at 54,000 people in our area. And yes, we do have a lot of concerns, and the main concern being that we would lose, as the lady that just preceded me said, a very close relationship with our two representatives and our senator, and they've been doing a terrific job for us. One of the most encouraging signs has been with the city of Portland, although I realize this doesn't represent your issues, but in recent times we had a fire station closed, and through the efforts of our representatives and our association and our wild drive to pick up signatures, we were able to reopen the station that sits on the border between Portland and Gresham. Our area covers about 142nd on the west to 174th on the east, and we're Stark to Powell as far as the community association is concerned. But we have lots of people out there that were desperately in need of these fire safety concerns when they closed that station. We got it reopened, so we're confident that as we go along here, we're going to progress, and we just don't want to see a regression as a result of the loss of this representation through our state representatives. And with that, I'll close my remarks. And I do have a letter here that was signed by several members of our association directed to your group, and I'll just hand them up to you, and you can pass them out.
Thank you. And if you would identify yourself for the record, please.
Ron Clemenson.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you for your testimony. Next on our list tonight will be Senator Frank Shields. Good evening, Senator Shields.
Good evening. How are you this evening?
Well, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Frank Shields. I'm the state senator from Senate District 9, which encompasses East Portland. You've already heard a description of East Portland, but I want to reiterate some of what has been said and share some which you may not have thought about. I think that House District 16 and 21 and Senate District 9 have something unique, and that is that they are comprised of people who all recently, and by recently I mean within the last 15 to 20 years, became residents of the city of Portland. Now, I want you to understand a lot of those people moved from Portland out into unincorporated mid-Multnomah County because they didn't want to live in Portland, and then Portland came after them anyway. Okay? So there's some pretty strong feelings about their kind of disenfranchisement. In fact, it has been stated, and I think the record will prove, that there's never been a member of city council elected from east of 82nd Street. In other words, you've got this 110,000 people out in that part of what I call mid-Multnomah County who are residents of the city of Portland, but they've never really felt very represented by those who sit in City Hall. That's why they get so, excuse me for using the word, exorcised about stormwater rates. They get charged storm water sewer fees the same as people in downtown Portland, but we don't get the service. In other words, we all dig dry wells to put our storm water in, and yet we pay a storm water runoff fee just like everybody else. So there's some real interesting differences between us and a lot of the folks in the older part of Portland. In fact, we had a town hall a week and a half ago or so where we tried to define ourselves. We don't like to call ourselves far east anymore, and some of you like to refer to yourselves as far right or far left. And yet we are so far to the east that honestly some of us don't think City Hall can see quite that far in terms of the needs of folks in East Portland. The other thing that has already been mentioned is that we are different partly because though we are in Portland, we are not in the Portland School District. It's amazing to me how often people think we are part of the Portland School District. I get invited to all the Portland School District meetings, and yes, there's a small percentage of my district in Portland's school district, but of far more importance is Park Rose David Douglas Centennial that we've already talked about. People's community of interest is represented by their school districts. And if that's one of your criteria over here in the sheet, then please remember that there's a community of interest out there. People, in fact, for the last 8 years, I've either referred to myself as the state representative or the senator from mid-Multnomah County, kind of to differentiate myself from being just from Portland. And I'm not trying to say anything disparaging about a lot of friends that I have in Portland. I mean, it's not that I don't love the city. Community of interest is one issue. Natural boundaries is another. So there's some real interesting differences between us and a lot of the folks in the older part of Portland. In fact, we had a town hall a week and a half ago or so where we tried to define ourselves. We don't like to call ourselves far east anymore, and some of you like to refer to yourselves as far right or far left.
And yet we are so far to the east that honestly some of us don't think City Hall can see quite that far in terms of the needs of folks in East Portland. The other thing that has already been mentioned is that we are different partly because though we are in Portland, we are not in the Portland School District. It's amazing to me how often people think we are part of the Portland School District. I get invited to all the Portland School District meetings, and yes, there's a small percentage of my district in Portland's School District, but a far more important issue is Park Rose, David Douglas, Centennial that we've already talked about. People's community of interest is represented by their school districts. And if that's one of your criteria over here in the sheet, then please remember that there's a community of interest out there. People, in fact, for the last 8 years, I've either referred to myself as a state representative or the senator from mid-Multnomah County. Kind of to differentiate myself from being just from Portland. And I'm not trying to say anything disparaging about a lot of friends that I have in Portland. I mean, it's not that I don't love the city. Community of interest is one issue. Natural boundaries is another. If you got stuck in traffic coming up I-5, one way that you could have avoided it was to come up I-205 and then cut in. Interstate 205 is a huge natural boundary that could easily be the western boundary of Senate District 9. Of course, the Columbia River to the north. We could move a little north and take some of the Argate area or whatever. But there are some very natural boundaries that we could follow as well. Anyway, thank you for the opportunity tonight, and it's just good to have you in this part of the state taking testimony.
Thank you, Senator Shields. It's a pleasure to be here this evening. Our thanks to Jefferson High School for being such a good host. Next up will be Representative Jeff Merkley, please. Representative Kapori doubling as a committee administrator. Thank you very much. Good evening, Representative Merkley.
Good evening, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. It's a pleasure to come and testify in this redistricting hearing. As I came in the door, you were hearing a little bit about East Portland, East Edge of Portland, Far East Portland, Mid-Multnomah County, or whatever name we give to it. The fact that the name is difficult to come by reflects the recent history of this area, which was incorporated and had a very separate identity from Portland, and was unincorporated, and then became incorporated just within the last 10 years, most of it in 93 and 94. I had a conversation with Jeff Mapes from the Oregonian. He came to me and said, now how should we refer to your part of the city? And we went through about six or seven variations, and in the end he said, well, we used to call it Mid-Multnomah County, maybe we just better keep calling it that. But the fact is, this area is now part of Portland, and that shapes this whole sense of our community of interest. If you stand in downtown Portland and you look east, you see Mount Tabor. And Mount Tabor used to be the edge of Portland. And then you see Mount Hood. And so you have this sense of the city ending at Mount Tabor as it once did, but there's some people living out there somewhere, and then there's the Cascade Mountains. But those people living out there somewhere comprise almost as much area as is currently between 1st Street and 82nd, because the city goes to 165th. So you have 80 blocks of the old city, and you have 80 blocks, roughly, of the recently incorporated city. As you would expect, unincorporated Mid-Multnomah County developed very differently from the city of Portland. The city of Portland, now to its regret, put in a combined sewer and stormwater system, while Mid-County operated with septic tanks and dry wells for stormwater. While Portland built what were referred to in our area as city standard roads, in unincorporated Minimum County, your roads consisted of whatever the developer decided to build. Some of those have curbs, most didn't, and some weren't paved. And that still is the scattering of types of roads that we have in that part of the city. While Portland reveled in being the big city in Oregon, people from Minimum County saw it a little differently. At the time I was growing up, downtown Portland was a shipping junkyard. And we saw it as having a high city tax burden, being overly regulated, and having a high crime rate. That was the view from the other side of Mount Tabor. And in fact, almost any conversation about the articles in the newspaper and the problems Portland was dealing with normally ended with the exclamation, "Thank God, we're not part of Portland." Well, now in fact that has changed and we are part of Portland, but the community remains distinctly different. In fact, if you ask someone in Mid-McNomah County where they live, they're most likely to say, use the name of the high school within which area they live. They say, "I live in David Douglas, I live in Park Rose, I live in Reynolds, I live in Centennial," because the high school and its the elementary schools that fed it constituted the neighborhoods and the civic center. And everything reverberated, much as in small towns it does, around the high school and the clear boundaries. And the rivalries that existed were, in my case, our school, David Douglas School I grew up in, its key rival was Park Rose, the neighbor to the north. And so that was the big game of the year or the big track meet or so on and so forth. Whereas in old Portland, people think of themselves as living in neighborhoods. Neighborhoods mean something. Irvington means a lot. But maybe 1 out of 10 residents in Minimum County could even tell you what their neighborhood is called, because those dividing lines really don't reverberate as part of civic life. We thought with incorporation that these differences would begin to disappear. And they probably will, given a great long time, a few generations into the future, because the political battles of the recent years have really scarred the relationship between the east edge of Portland, far east Portland, and the rest of Portland. It began with the city deciding that it wanted to increase density, and that to do that it needed sewer system in mid-county. And that cost the residents about $6,000 to $10,000 a household. That is a tremendous amount for a working class area. Very huge amount for working class area. And then came the notorious window of savings, which consisted of, "Well, we know we're saddling you with a $6,000 to $10,000 bill, but we'll give you a few $100 off if you vote for annexation." This vote buying scheme absolutely infuriated Far East Portland and was later found unconstitutional by the Ninth Circuit. And then to add injury to insult, the city made an absolute promise. "We know that you're suffering with the $6,000 to $10,000 expense. We will not charge you to solve the city's combined sewer overflow problem. We have a 100% discount program in place, and you will benefit from that. We understand that you use dry wells." Annexations occurred in 93 and 94 for the large bulk of that area. In 1995, the city said, "We are going to block the program to all new entrants," which included most people east of 82nd who weren't yet on sewer. And in 1998, the city said, "We're eliminating the program." It is hard to find a resident east of 82nd that doesn't feel like the city structure really took advantage of that area with that series of moves. The citizens of Far East Portland continue to see the world a bit differently. They don't feel they're represented well on the city council, because the city does not have areas from which people are elected. And my colleague in the Senate noted that we don't have any councillors who have lived east of 82nd. Actually, while in office, I don't believe we've ever had a city council in the history of the city east of 42nd Avenue. It is 6 miles between 42nd Avenue and the east edge of the city, a huge additional city that we have not had counselors from who understand those issues and represent them to the city. All of this is to say simply that Far East Portland, or recently incorporated Portland, is a community of interest. It's a very different town. It comprises a population of approximately 139,000 residents, meaning that two house districts, Senate district, fit easily within that area. And so I respectfully ask the committee to think about these factors and the issue of community of interest in designing the boundaries of the districts as you're so hard at work doing. And thank you very much for undertaking that incredibly difficult task.
Thank you, Representative. Appreciate that. Representative Mark.
Yes, I just wanted to have you take a look at the city boundaries as they existed, for example, in 1970. From Dolores, which is up near the Maywood Park city limits, to almost Division. The city limits ran along approximately 92nd, 94th, 96th, all the way down. So, for example, you mentioned 82nd. The Montevilla neighborhood, which happens to be in my district, is a longtime member of the city, and it was connected for a long time with a rail line, a streetcar line. So do take a careful look at those city the existing city boundaries of the 70s, and you'll see that 82nd wasn't the perfect dividing line.
No, indeed. On the north end, 82nd was the dividing line between Park Rose and the city, and you'll still see that Park Rose starts at 82nd Avenue. 82nd was the highway, if you will, for that part of the city before I-205. It was the major arterial, and it was thought of largely as that geographic feature which separated Mid-County from Portland. However, the representative from Mount Tabor is correct that, in fact, the city boundary jogged around. It earlier, however, had been west of 82nd Avenue before it moved out to that point. So, but that's
correct. You're talking about recent incorporations, but I'm going back to the 70s. So, thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator Shields.
Yes, again, Senator Frank Shields. I just wanted to add one element that is a piece of history, and that was that when this annexation first began to be talked about, the feelings were so strong that Mid-Multnomah County, for a long time, tried to form its own city, which would have immediately become, and maybe George and Irene can remind me, I think it would have been the second largest city in the state. It would have been this 139,000 people or less that, given population growth. So it could have ended up being its own city had things gone a little differently.
Thank you. Well, the streets are only numbered up to 12th Street in my town, so.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Gordon.
I just want to double check if there's someone that we invited to give testimony tonight. I can't see in the audience. Is Robert Phillips here? Okay. Has he signed up, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, sir. And at the end of the evening, I'll call for additional testimony from those who may be here who have not signed up. I wanted to ask our Spanish interpreter once again if she would address the crowd just to make sure that we have not missed anyone this evening. Thank you. All right, next testify will be Sharon McCall, please. Okay. All right, very good. Thank you. Next will be Herb Brown. You'd state your name for the record, please.
Herb Brown, Senator Shields spoke about the possibility of a new city in our area. That was called Columbia Ridge. And if we had gotten that name, that would have set it apart a little bit from the city of Portland. Otherwise, we have been kind of a stepchild of Portland, but not the regular, fully adopted one. So massive annexations began in 1983 with the push for Portland to go east and Gresham to come west. So we tried to form a new city, and all of that area then was unincorporated. That went down according to the full Metro Boundary Commission, which shot it down for various reasons. But since that time, I tried another little venture, and I myself, in 1989, was a chief petitioner and formed the Rockwood Water People's Utility District. I now serve as the president of that board. And that serves 50,000 people in East County, or some people call it Mid-County or whatever. So I'm in House District 16, would like to extend my wishes to see that District 16 and 21 and Senate District 9 remain as intact as possible, geographically and physically, so that they do not end the reflection that they have of the diversity in our area. So I've printed a little note of my own, and I think I'm a little short of copies, but I'll give some to Representative Markley, and perhaps you can take a few up there.
Sure, you can hand them up there to Representative Kapori, and she'll make sure that...
She's the secretary.
She does. She certainly is tonight.
Only when we're in her district.
Well, thank you. Also, of course, there are other representative districts that were involved in the Mid-County area, 20 and some of the others, which were also redistricted in the last census, but mostly our area is diverse, and we wouldn't like, for instance, one of our geographic boundaries running rectangularly way on down into the city of Portland, taking people who never heard of us. So please take into account Representative District 16, District 21, and Senate District 9. Try to leave us as intact as possible.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next to testify will be George Starr, please. If you'd state your name for our record, please.
I'm George Starr. I live in Portland in District 16, Oklahoma County. And I want to go. I understand what you folks are up against, and I'm glad I'm not sitting up there with you and having to make these decisions, because you're not going to please everybody. You're going to please some, but not everybody. And anyway, I just wanted to...
Chair, you are saying as a former member of the legislature, aren't you, Mr. Starr?
That was in the late 70s. I did 3 terms in the House.
Ah, did you?
And it was a good experience, but I wouldn't want to go back.
I understand fully.
Anyway, I guess following Senator Seals and Representative Merkley is a pretty hard act to follow, and they pretty well covered everything in great detail that I kind of wanted to refer to, but as long as I'd already... You'd think I had access to their testimony and read it, but I didn't, and today I just jotted down some buzzwords here, and they're pretty much the same thing. Herb and others have testified, 16 and 21 comprise Senate District 9, and it's a major part of East Multnomah County. And I would certainly be pleased if you folks could preserve as much of that district integrity as you can. I understand that the counties are going to have to change. They're going to have to move out from the central east side of Portland and expand, and that will cause these other districts to have to expand even further, and toward Gresham, which has outgrown its bounds, and I just understand what you're dealing with, and this, you're dealing with the whole state, and I'm just dealing with a little part of the county. Anyway, we were rural when we first moved there about 45 years ago. It was pretty rural, and that's all changed now because of population increases and housing densities increased. We were annexed to Portland, as the previous speakers have said, but we're somewhat different. We've got a little different community of interest. We have a separate education system. They both mentioned that. We have concern over unimproved streets. That was already mentioned. And also over the stormwater charges. And so My statement is just very brief because it's already been said, and that I didn't want something on the record that I had participated in. And thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Starr. Good to meet you. Next to testify will be John Toran, please. Good evening.
I'm a little nervous talking for a large group, so I had to write down everything.
Not a problem.
To the honorable members of the Oregon Legislature, here to receive testimony on reapportionment, good evening. My name is John Dean Turan. I reside on 4008 Northeast 30th, the area which is now House District 19. I come here to speak today first for my heritage. My father and my mother have both been trailblazers in running for public office, being of service to the people throughout the state and advocates for community empowerment throughout through political participation and involvement. I am an heir to that tradition and represent the next generation of youth prepared and ready to make a difference through political and community involvement. From that vantage point, I come also to contribute to your discussion today on reapportionment. As the Northeast community enters the 21st century, it enters with a strong foundation built through earlier political organizing that resulted in the creation of House District 18, which was drawn to keep the boundaries of the Northeast Neighborhood Coalition intact, a community of interest made up of Oregon's largest black but also most diverse community together, unified for the purpose of building community. District 18's creation resulted in the largest black participation in the political process, with numerous blacks running for political office because they believed they could win. The community benefited because voter registration was strong, the get-out-and-vote efforts encouraged participation, and we did elect strong and credible people for our legislative seat, including Ed Leek, Margaret Carter, and now Representative Deborah Kefouri. Because the boundaries of the district were kept intact with those of the Neighborhood Association, economic development has benefited the community. Much of it is a result of the enterprise zone legislation sponsored by Representative Margaret Carter during her years of service in the House. Examples of this has been the development of old Fred Meyer property on Killingsworth and King, Walgreens Pharmacy, the newest development project occurring on Ainsworth and MLK, the McCoy Village, the Irvington Convent Church, the Trailblazers Boys and Girls Club, Nature's Health, the Health Products and Food Store, just to name a few. As you contemplate on how to draw the lines for reapportionment, I request that you expand the lines of District 18 to make up the roughly 7,000 additional people needed to meet the district population requirements. By doing this, you will continue to encourage the community's transformation from a state of blight to one of prosperity. Thank you for coming out to hear our voices. This issue is important to the next generation of torchbearers prepared and ready to make a difference. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for yours.
Mr. Chair?
Senator,
thank you, Mr. Chair. If I may comment to Mr. Turan, it's just wonderful to see you, and you are an heir to your family history and tradition, and many of us look forward to working on your future campaign.
I'll leave the last words to you on that, but my community has invested quite a bit in my success and my development and becoming the person that I have today. And, by running for office and giving back to the public, that's the least I can do for them turning me into the person I am today. And again,
terrific. Thank you. Robert Phillips. If you state your name for our record, please.
Good evening. My name is Robert Phillips, and I live at 3738 Northeast Rodney in District 18. In 1968, when I ran for student body president here at Jefferson High School, I was told by my speech instructor to say what you need to say and then get off the stage. That's my intent tonight. I do want to welcome you, the 71st State Legislature, both Senate and House representatives of the Redistricting Committee to Jefferson High School located in the heart of District 18. We are pleased to be one of the hearing sites for your redistricting field hearing. I wish to encourage the committee to support the concept that went into the creation of House District 18, which I was a part of. Matter of fact, it was the Phillips District prior to becoming House District 18 in 1981. After the completion and publication of the 1980, the Seminole Census, the district was created to maintain a community of common interest, together to respond to and address issues of common concern while having a point of accountability. This also keeps the existing geographical boundaries intact. And some of the things Mr. Turan mentioned earlier goes into some of the major kinds of activity, redevelopment activities, and so on, that has resulted in the community of common interest being held together. We also looked at creating a community that would not dilute the voting strength of any ethnic and minority group. And in District 18, there are many ethnic and minority groups that have various common interests. We are proud of our diverse heritage and the strength it adds to our community. We do not want that strength diluted or splintered. I recognize in the number game to get to 57,023 needed for a House district and 1,014 and 47 for a Senate district, that both House District 17, which is down by 5,143 people, and District 18, down by approximately 7,145 people, will need to expand to meet the required numbers. Some of this can occur by expanding into Natural Line, now part of District 19, while also meeting the needs of District 14, needing 10,269 people, and District 15 needing 8,147 people. This type of decision should be made in a way that is sensitive to the needs of any district that may get reshaped or lose in the process and should avoid altering the natural boundaries of a community. And one of the things I just want to point out in looking at the map of the district that was part of the information provided this evening, if you look at the District 19 boundaries, I kind of find it a little bit confusing in terms of the kind of curve that 19 takes into creating that particular district, and find it a little difficult to find how the district in a core area and then the extension outward would create a district and a community of common interest. But those things are things that you will have to decide in the long run in terms of what is best for a community and how best to represent the interests of those communities. In addition, I think House District 20 and House District 21, which have a population size over the designated number, create some possibilities for the expansion of other House districts that could protect the integrity of 19, and I think that is something that you may want to look at and consider also. Even though the challenge is great, if the two parties work together, the task can be done. With true representation, accountability, and responsiveness to the various concerns of all communities of interest in this state. Thank you very much for this opportunity to speak before you, and I wish you well in your task.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Thanks for coming out tonight. Wanted to see if Arthur Towers was here. We had to skip Arthur earlier, and is he here? Okay, I'm going to presume he's not. This takes care of our sign-up list, I want to give you an opportunity. Those who have arrived late and not had an opportunity to sign up, if you would like to testify, please come forward and state your name for the record, and we will be happy to take your testimony. Is there anyone? All right, any comments from our committee tonight? I want to thank all of you for being here.
In a way that is sensitive to the needs of any district that may get reshaped or lose in the process and should avoid altering the natural boundaries of a community. And one of the things I just want to point out in looking at the map of the district that was part of the information provided this evening, if you look at the District 19 boundaries, I kind of find it a little bit confusing in terms of the kind of curve that 19 takes into creating that particular district, and find it a little difficult to find how the district in a core area and then the extension outward would create a district and a community of common interest. But those things are things that you will have to decide in the long run in terms of what is best for a community and how best to represent the interests of those communities. In addition, I think House District 20 and House District 21, which have a population size over the designated number, create some possibilities for the expansion of other House districts that could protect the integrity of 19, and I think that is something that you may want to look at and consider also. Even though the challenge is great, if the two parties work together, the task can be done. With true representation, accountability, and responsiveness to the various concerns of all communities of interest in this state. Thank you very much for this opportunity to speak before you, and I wish you well in your task.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Thanks for coming out tonight. Wanted to see if Arthur Towers was here. We had to skip Arthur earlier, and is he here? Okay, I'm going to presume he's not. This takes care of our sign-up list. I want to give you an opportunity. Those who have arrived late and not had an opportunity to sign up, if you would like to testify, please come forward and state your name for the record, and we will be happy to take your testimony. Is there anyone? All right, any comments from our committee tonight? I want to thank all of you for being here.
Mr. Chair, I think I see Ken Berry, is that you? Ken Berry, are you vice principal? Vice principal here at Jefferson High School and our host, and just want to acknowledge his acting principal.
He plays one on TV. Yeah.
Yes, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here this evening and a good facility for us. Okay, with nothing else from the committee is adjourned.